husband Robert.
No, Robert, it needs to be higher.
I thought you said this was right.
Yes, well, now I look at it,
I'm all right.
You do want us to have the conservatory decorated for Christmas, do you?
Of course I do.
Well, then. Must say I'm rather glad to see the back of all those poinsettias.
I always thought they were rather festive.
This will be festive and totally recyclable.
You don't think we might get fed up having the same Christmas decorations year after year?
Just think of what we're doing for the environment, Robert.
I was thinking what making all these artificial swags and garlands has done to the environment.
But it's the last damage we'll ever do. We will never again be responsible for cutting down a Christmas tree.
Linda, I don't think growing Christmas trees does any harm at all.
Well, Robert, the great thing about an artificial tree is that it's flame retardant. I'll be able to have candles on it.
Right, pass me the garland.
And when I've trimmed them all with that tartan ribbon...
What tartan ribbon?
The ribbon I bought to make the Scottish costume for the late lamented Euro Panto.
I think it's a jolly good thing it didn't go ahead.
Robert?
Well, what with the French visitors and the concert.
Well, I just hope Jill Archer isn't confronted with the same apathy that I was.
I gather from Clary at the service yesterday that it all seems to be coming along jolly well.
Reading between the lines, I thought she was putting a brave face on it.
It was a jolly good service yesterday.
Yes, Robin can be very inspirational when he's got the time.
I thought that carol the French sang was very jolly.
It looked to me as if Brian was far more interested in helping Marie Claire find her way through the carol sheet.
Evening.
Oh, Eddie, you made me jump out of my skin.
What does he want?
Coming. Good evening, Eddie.
Oh, evening, Mrs. Snow.
Eddie, come in before we lose all the heat.
Yeah, can't be too careful. Never going to put VAT on fuel bills.
No, that won't worry us. This conservatory is triple glazed.
What can we do for you, Eddie?
Well, it's more a case of what I can do for you.
Oh, yes.
The thing is, I was looking through last year's turkey orders and I noticed you'd forgotten to order yours this year.
No, Eddie, I didn't forget to order. It's just that we're not having turkey this year.
Yeah, see, the thing is, there'll just be the two of us.
So a turkey's hardly worth it.
Grange Farm turkey's brilliant value.
Yes, well, perhaps if you're feeding the whole Archer family.
One of our turkeys would feed you for days. You could have turkey sandwiches, devil turkey, turkey risotto, turkey and cream
sauce.
Yes,
Eddie, does it occur to you that we might like a little variation in our diet? Besides which, John Archer's pork is conservation grade.
John Archer's pork. That's all I ever seem to hear. And it's not conversation grade, not yet.
Well, you've got to admire his marketing strategy.
He should be very pleased with his advert in the parish magazine.
Can I put an advert in?
I'm sorry, Eddie. I'm afraid you're too late.
What?
Linda finished the magazine yesterday.
Yeah, but if it's all on your computer...
I can't tell you the trouble I've had keeping it down to 4 pages.
But...
It's a special souvenir edition, you see, so that the French can take it back to Meruel with them.
Oh, and you think they'll want to read about John Archer's pork?
I wanted them to be able to read about our next town twinning meeting.
Linda's even written a bilingual editorial.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right, I get the message.
I'm sorry, Eddie.
That's all right, I'm getting used to it. Oh, I'll tell you what else I've got on the van. Mistletoe.
Yeah, we got some mistletoe.
That's plastic.
And totally recyclable.
Mine's totally recyclable.
Really?
You hang it up for Christmas, and then you put it on the compost heap.
Linda, I wouldn't mind having a bit of fresh mistletoe.
Robert, will you
No skin off my nose if you don't want it. Yeah, Jill Archer's already rung me up to ask if I'd take some down to the village hall for a concert.
But in that case, Jill is welcome to it.
I can't wait to see what happens to that Marie Claire under the mistletoe.
Robert...
Oh, I just meant...
Hey, play your cards right, Mrs. Snell. And you might get a looking with Jean-Michel, eh?
Thank you, Eddie.
Right, better get down to the village hall, then. I'll see myself out.
Bye, Eddie.
Play my cards right, really?
Linda, don't you think it would be rather a good idea to go to the concert?
What?
If the French are going to be there...
You know, Robert, I pity them. I really do.
I think it could be jolly good fun.
When I think of the entertainment they were supposed to be getting, now all they'll get is people doing their dull old routines.
Yeah, but they won't be dull old routines to the French.
But they will be for us. So, I think we'd be much better having a quiet night at home.
Oh, Venice it is, then.
Well, better than Tenerife.
You know, I should expect you to sing to me in a gondola.
You don't think it might be a bit cold on the Grand Canal in February?
Well, we can't go to Venice and not go in a gondola. Now, how do you want me to pay my half?
Oh, isn't the best thing for me to book it on my credit card and then you can give me a cheque?
Oh, if you're happy with that.
Mm. I don't think I'll have a chance to book it before Wednesday.
You can do it while Shula and I are choosing my wedding dress.
I still think you're mad to go to London 3 days before Christmas.
But people buying Christmas presents, not wedding dresses.
I suppose so.
And it's so convenient. The coach will pick us up and drop us back on the village green.
Well, I'll be on hand to carry all your parcels.
I don't have to worry about parking or missing the train.
I bet you come back exhausted.
Oh, I don't mind coming back exhausted as long as I come back with a dress. But I better make sure I don't have too late a night tomorrow.
What about the meal last week? The service? The concert? Christmas is going to seem positively dull by comparison.
Oh, hard work, more like.
Well, I'm looking forward to the boys coming up and having our Christmas on the 29th.
Now that won't be dull.
I think Nigel's Christmas might be.
I think Julia Partridge is just swinging the lead.
That thought had crossed my mind. But Nigel's very worried about her.
She just wants to wrap him round her little finger. She's never liked Elizabeth.
I know.
Did you notice the way they didn't even sit next to each other at the service yesterday?
Oh, sorry, I was far too busy with the service. Oh, I wonder who that is.
You know we're supposed to be at the village hall in 20 minutes.
I know.
Eddie. Oh, evening, Vicar.
Hello, Eddie.
Oh, come in. Caroline, I was just having a cup of tea before we go over to the dress rehearsal.
Yeah, I'm just on my way over there.
Well, what can we do for you?
Well, it's more a case of what I can do for you. The thing is, I've been checking last year's turkey orders, and I noticed you'd forgotten to order one this year.
Well, actually, Eddie, we're not having turkey.
What?
Sam and Oliver have both begged us not to.
They say they'll be sick of the sight of turkey by the time they come to us.
Oh, don't tell me. You've decided to have a piece of John Archer's pork.
How did you know that?
Because it's what everybody seems to be having.
Well, the pork we had at the ball last week was delicious.
Yeah, no, I didn't think so.
Eddie, you couldn't be a bit biased.
Well, you'd be biased if you lost all your customers.
You haven't lost all your customers. We're having Grange Farm turkey up at Grey Gables.
You wouldn't surprise me one bit if I got home and found that order had been cancelled as well.
Robert! Robert, it's Susan. She's just called to bring us a Christmas card.
Susan, come in. Thanks.
Evening, Mr. Snell.
Evening, Susan.
Oh, isn't it nice in here?
Oh, do you think so? Oh,
I like all these tartan bows.
Oh, Linda's idea.
Now, Susan, seeing as it's the Christmas season, how about a glass of sherry?
Oh, well, I only came to bring you your Christmas card.
Nonsense.
Well, if you're sure.
Oh, good. I thought I was going to have to insist. Robert?
No, thanks, Linda. I'll wait till I put the ladder away.
Oh, just a small one, please, Linda.
I'm assuming you want medium.
Yes, please.
Yes, there you are. Oh,
thank you.
You don't mind if I don't join you?
Oh, no, of course not.
Are you all ready for Christmas, then?
More or less.
I bet Emma and Christopher are excited.
Oh, you can say that again.
Leonie and Coriander used to have us up at 4 a.m. on Christmas Day.
When you see their faces as they open their presents, I could forgive Emma and Christopher anything then.
I must say, Susan, I do think you're a wonderful mother.
Me?
Look at the way you've soldiered on in the face of adversity.
You mean the court and everything?
Susan, you know, I'd be only too happy to come to court and tell the judge what a wonderful mother and member of the community you are.
Oh, it's very kind of you, Linda.
I can be very persuasive when I want to be, can't I, Robert?
Yeah.
So you needn't have any worries on that score.
It's very kind of you, Linda, but... Well, Mr. Pemberton's already offered to give me a character reference.
Guy Pemberton?
And with him being my boss and everything, he...
Oh. Yes, well, I see.
I'm sorry, Linda.
No, not at all. I just thought if it was appropriate, that's all.
Yeah. Look, I'd better go. Thanks for the sherry. I'll see myself out. Bye-bye.
Bye, then.
Bye, Susan. Take care of yourself. Spurned.
Lindy.
When I think of what I was prepared to stand up and say in Susan's defence.
I know.
Oh, well. I just hope Mr. Pemberton does the job as well as I could have done.
Caroline, are you ready?
Yes. I worked through the ball so hard this time.
I think what you need to try and do is to try and get it to bounce.
Hmm.
When through the window, big and red, they're hurtled by his royal head.
Here. Oh, dear. What are we going to do if it bounces into the audience tomorrow?
Oh, we'll just have to hope someone throws it back. Catch!
Hey, Dan.
Hello again, Eddie.
Didn't think you were allowed ball games in here.
The ball's one of our props.
Well, Caroline's having great difficulty throwing it accurately.
It would help if you try and stay in the same place.
But you don't mind if I get on with putting up this mistletoe?
No, of course not.
Blimey, I don't believe it. He's even got his posters up in here.
Now, John's certainly persistent.
Well, I hope Jill aren't just charging her advertising space.
I'm sure she won't object to you putting up a poster for your turkeys.
The only trouble is we haven't got any posters.
Well, you could easily make some.
You could get William and Edward to make them.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
And then it'd be easy enough to get them photocopied.
If I could get them photocopied, I could put one in every seat for tomorrow night.
Eddie, don't you think it's
a bit
late?
Look, I think I'm just going to pop home for a bit. Tell Mrs. Arch I'll be back later.
Right.
Oh, Susan!
Hello, Eddie.
Yeah, sorry, but I can't stop.
Right. Hello, Susan.
You brought Emma and Christopher for the dress rehearsal?
Oh, no, Maureen Travis is bringing them with her too, but I realised Emma hadn't got her ballet shoes.
You're looking forward to the concert?
Oh, I'm not coming.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, well, Neil will be here, though, and Maureen. She'll help him with Emma and Christopher after they've done their bit. So I'm sure I'll hear all about it when they get home.
Larry? You still out here?
What do you think?
I thought you'd be done by now.
Oh, so did I. But my fingers is that cold, I can hardly move them. How'd you get on?
Oh, terrible. Haven't got rid of a single turkey all day.
Well, what are people having for the Christmas dinners?
Would you think they're having John Archer's flaming pork?
Oh.
So I've decided the time has come to fight back.
Oh.
By the end of the week, we'll have last-minute customers queuing up to buy Grange Farm turkeys.
You reckon?
Yeah. Especially when we tell them that due to popular demand, there's only a few left.
And how are you going to tell people that?
I've got my plans. Just leave it to me, Clary, love. Because as far as John Archer's concerned, it's all out war.
Hello?
Jean-Michel, what are you doing here?
Oh, I thought I would come and consult you.
What about?
Eh bien, I need a suitable present for Marjorie Antrobus.
Ah.
She's been so hospitable.
Oh, good.
But then so has the Hall of Ambridge.
Oh, I'm just glad that the whole town twinning visit has gone so well.
I'm looking forward to showing you Meruel next year. Properly this time. It won't be rushed like the last time you told me about.
Well, I'm not sure I'll be going yet.
Ah, but you will. I know you won't need an interpreter, but I look forward to showing you the countryside.
Oh, I don't know about not needing an interpreter. I did get in a bit of a muddle about the terms they were using at the conference yesterday.
Ah, but those were specialist terms, were they not?
I don't know how I'd start translating non-food use of land conference into French.
Me neither.
Oh, Debbie, thank goodness you're open.
Oh, we don't close till 5:30.
I thought with the concert and everything, you might be closing early.
Well, Nelson is going home early.
What, to put on a silk dressing gown?
Probably.
Nelson is wearing a silk dressing gown for his performance.
Oh, no, not really.
Ah, bon.
You probably don't understand the reference. Noel Coward, who wrote the song Nelson's going to sing, was always being photographed in silk dressing gowns.
Jean-Michel's coming to buy a present for Mrs. Antrobus.
Oh, I have so enjoyed staying with her.
Well, Nigel might know what she'd like.
Are you having some difficulty making up your mind?
Well, I haven't looked yet. I was talking to Debbie.
Rattling away in French, eh?
No, actually, we were talking English.
Oh, you mean I could have joined in?
Yes, if you had been here.
I would have been here 30 minutes ago if there had been anywhere to park.
I was lucky enough to have a lift from Clary Grandy. She was coming into Borchester to do some photocopying.
Oh, I bet those are the programmes for the concert.
I thought Shula was going to do those in the estate office.
Yeah, I think the way things are with Susan Carter, she might have been too busy.
I do feel sorry for Susan.
You're talking about the one who's going to be on trial, yeah?
Well, according to Mark, it's not trial so much as a sentencing.
Susan's pleading guilty, you see.
Oh, the English legal system. I think it's very complicated. Nigel, what would be a suitable present for Mrs. Antrobus?
Well, if I was you, I'd go for something to do with dogs. A nice print or something.
The only trouble is we haven't got any.
Ah, in that case...
Oh, we've got a corkscrew with a dog's head handle.
Perfect. A corkscrew and a bottle of wine.
That sounds all right to me.
Then it is as easy as that. We'll have the corkscrew, please, Debbie.
Fine.
But I'm in no hurry. You can serve Nigel first.
Oh, that's very good of you, Jean-Michel.
I'm hoping Debbie will give me a lift back to Ambridge.
Oh, fine. If you don't mind waiting till I've shut the shop.
I could drop you off on my way back to Low Loxley. I've got to go and pick up my old school cap. It's part of my Tweedledum costume.
Oh, Nigel, I'm happy to wait for Debbie. It will give me a chance to buy my bottle of wine.
Fine. Now, Debbie, what I'm looking for is something like a nice silver picture frame.
Oh, well, we've got a couple. I'll just get them out for you.
Good.
They're
They're a bit pricey.
Well, that doesn't matter.
Okay. It's a special present.
Very special.
There you go.
Thanks. Whew. I don't think I've got a photograph of me big enough to fit this one.
Oh, you're going to put your own photograph in it?
I think that's what Mummy would like.
It's for Julia.
Why? Who did you think it was for?
Well, I thought it might be for Elizabeth.
No. I don't think Lizzie and I will be giving each other presents this year.
Oh, Nigel.
But then, since I won't be spending Christmas with the Archers...
But I thought
that... Yeah, well, Mummy and I had a chat over the weekend, and she's made me realise that I've got to spend this Christmas with her.
Oh. It is your mother who was ill at Mrs. Aldridge's?
At the wine tasting, yes. Mm. And it's because Mummy's ill that I've decided to spend Christmas at home.
Would you like me to try and pick out the tune on the piano, Uncle Tom?
No. All I want you to do is check that I got the words right.
Well, they sounded fine to me at the dress rehearsal yesterday.
Well, I thought I got a bit mulled up in the second verse.
If you're worried, why don't you sing The Village Pump?
Because I spend a lot of time rehearsing Buttercup Joe.
Nigel and I have spent a lot of time rehearsing.
Well, I must say I'm looking forward to seeing you and Nigel on the stage.
Are you?
Oh, it's nice when there's a few different acts. I'm looking forward to Shula and Mark as well.
Theirs is a very funny piece.
I seem to remember hearing it on the Whirlis once.
In that case, I just hope Shula and Mark come up to expectation.
And yours and Nigel's a comic turn as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
What does that mean?
Oh, nothing, Uncle Tom.
But I'm sure Nigel told
me... Look, Uncle Tom, let's not talk about Nigel and my act. You just have a go at Buttercup Joe.
I don't... Here are the words, then. I wrote them all out.
Right.
And I want you to stop me as soon as I gets any wrong.
Well, if you're sure.
I don't want them French visitors going home thinking I'm a forgetful old man.
No, of course not.
Because Bert Fry said that...
Look, Uncle Tom, you are going to be a million times better than Bert Fry.
Well, although I says it myself, Buttercup Joe's a lot more entertaining than Bert Fry's poems. All right, then, are you ready?
OK, go for it.
Now I be a true-bred country chap. Me father comes from Fareham. Mother, she a got a lot of...
Oh, Emma and Christopher had better hurry up. Becky's already got a costume on.
Oh, I'm afraid we were a bit late having our tea.
Oh, I suppose there's plenty of time still. It's just that Becky's been begging me to bring her down to get changed ever since she got back from school.
Emma was the same. Couldn't wait to get down here.
I think we both got stage-struck daughters.
You can say that again.
Where are you off to now?
Oh, thought I'd go back home.
Oh, I don't think it's worth my while going home. I'd only get there and have to turn around and come back again.
Well, do you want to come and have a cup of tea with me and Susan?
I didn't think Susan was going to the concert.
No, she's not. I've tried persuading her, but it's no good.
Oh, I think that's a shame for the children.
So do I. I said she'd be better coming to the concert than sitting at home and brooding about Thursday.
Oh, I can't get over what rotten luck it is that she's got to go to court Christmas week.
Well, at least we'll be able to celebrate when it's all over.
We're really looking forward to seeing you on Boxing Day.
Are you?
Becky's convinced she's going to get a makeup kit to show Emma.
And is she?
Not if I can help it. Oh, look, Neil, it's freezing out here. What do you say about going over to the pub for a Christmas drink?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, go on, just a quick one.
I don't know.
I don't want to end up sitting in the bull on my own.
Well, if you put it like that...
And I'm sure you could do with a pint before the show.
Oh, I must say, I wouldn't mind.
Oh, come on, then. They're on me.
No, I can't let you...
Of course you can. It's Christmas.
The first time I ever kissed my prue was under the mistletoe.
Really?
I'd have kissed her a bit harder if I'd known then that she was the girl for me.
Vous savez, I think most of the mistletoe you have in this country comes from France, you know.
Oh, this comes from Grange Farm. And it's good mistletoe, this. Lots of berries.
Ah, oui. Why is it important to have lots of berries?
Well, because traditionally, every time you kiss under it, you should pick a berry. And then, when there's no more berries, there's no more kissing.
I see.
But you could do a lot of kissing under this.
Right. And is this traditional as well? These pieces of paper on
that,
the seats?
Oh, no. That's Eddie Grundy trying to get rid of the last of his turkeys.
Home-reared, hand-plucked turkeys.
Clary says she'd been plucking them all weekend.
Yeah, she told me. She also told me that she was going to do some photocopying.
Must have cost a fortune, photocopying all them.
What does home-reared mean?
Oh, it just means that they was reared at Grange Farm.
It's not something like conservation grade, is it?
Oh, no.
Or organic?
No, it's just something they put.
Ah, oui, oui. I find all these different terms very confusing.
I sometimes think people put some on things to try and convince you that what you're eating is better than it really is.
Ah, well, I'd wondered about that.
Oh, I know John's pork is nice and all that, but it still don't taste like pork did in my childhood. But I think that's because people like to eat so lean nowadays. Whereas I've always liked a bit of fat myself. Right. Well, I'd better get backstage, ready to go on. And I hope you'll enjoy yourself.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I've been told by Debbie that I must clap very loudly.
Ah, you'll want to clap very loudly when you see Debbie in her costume.
Really? Oh, I told you we were going to be late.
Oh, Neil, I'm sorry.
I suppose we'll just have to sneak in at the back as soon as there's a break.
Now, I'd like to serenade you with an old English traditional song. Buttercup Joe.
Oh, I suppose we'd better wait until Mr. Forrest's finished his act.
Oh, it's just that I hadn't seen Sally for years. Not since we were at school.
Yeah, I know.
And so much has happened to her in her life. I mean, fancy spending 2 years in Saudi Arabia.
Sounded like a prison sentence, the way she was describing it.
Yeah, but...
Look, I know it wasn't really your fault we were late. I should have insisted.
Well, we haven't missed the children.
Oh, I'd never have been forgiven for doing that.
It's nicely decorated.
Yeah.
All I ever seem to do by way of Christmas decorations is shoving a few sprigs of holly behind the pictures.
I always think holly looks nice and bright.
It's good mistletoe this year.
Yeah, no. And the holly.
You know how sometimes it's just like a bundle of green twigs?
Oh, I think that's the stuff that comes in from abroad. All the berries get knocked off on the way here.
Neil?
What?
You know the tradition?
What tradition?
Kissing under the mistletoe.
Yeah?
Well, why don't we do something to keep it alive?
You mean...
Just a quick Christmas kiss. There's no one to see us, and it's been done for centuries, so there can't be any harm in it. Come on.
Lizzie, can I please explain?
Nigel, what is there to explain?
I feel terrible about not spending Christmas with you.
In that case, why didn't you stand up to your mother?
I've got to try and make this Christmas happy for her. You do see that, don't you?
No, Nigel, I can't say I do.
But, Lizzie...
Have you bothered to find out exactly how ill she is?
Look, you know what she said.
But, Nigel, is she telling the truth?
Are you accusing my mother of lying?
Think of all the times...
Look, this is serious. This time, I believe her.
Great.
And anyway, I can't take the risk.
Right.
Lizzie, you really don't understand, do you?
No, Nigel, I don't.
Then what am I supposed to say?
Thank you very much. Now I'd like to introduce Miss Elizabeth Archer and Mr. Nigel Pargeter as Tweedledum and Tweedledee. Nigel and Elizabeth.
Well, are we going on or not?
Nigel and Elizabeth. Well, that's what it says on my programme at any rate.
Oh, come on, Nigel. There's nothing else for it. We'll just have to go on and be Tweedledum and Tweedledee.
Bimmy, it's very good of you to come and help clear up the hall.
Oh, that's all right. I'd only been kicking my heels until it was time for me to go to work.
I must say, I did feel sorry seeing the French go.
Me too.
Jean-Michel was such a nice young man.
Yes.
It was such an early start.
Oh, I always think early starts are a good thing. Otherwise, you spend the whole day hanging around waiting to leave.
I do wish we knew who was the person who left their watch here.
Oh, I'm sure it's not one of the French. I think it's...
Virus database has been updated.
I
do hope so. Anyway, I've put it in the cutlery drawer for safekeeping.
Right.
Oh, I knew these flyers would end up all over the floor.
You've got to admire Eddie for trying. I must say, he goes into great detail about his turkeys.
What Eddie doesn't seem to realise is that his turkeys are such enormous great things. Mm. They're utterly impractical for smaller families and quite expensive.
Mm. Did you notice his fly posting on the village green?
Yes, I did.
I thought it was quite clever. Your turkey needs you and careless pork costs lives.
Well, I think that's a bit far-fetched.
Do you think I should take down the mistletoe in the hall?
I think you might as well. It hasn't got a berry left on it.
Oh, that's all Uncle Tom's fault.
How'd you make that out?
Well, he was the one who told Jean-Michel that you had to pick a berry for every kiss.
Oh, you must have picked your fair share then.
One or two.
One or two.
And quite right. I think it's a lovely custom. Mother, can you just pass me that bin bag?
Yeah, all right.
I think the best way to deal with these flowers is pick them up individually.
Do you want me to pick them up?
Oh, Debbie, would you mind? I'm afraid when you get to my age, you don't bend so easily.
Of course I don't mind.
Well, you'd better have the bin bag then, dear.
Thank you.
I think you should take those posters down advertising John Archer's pork.
Do you think so?
John was supposed to be here on the dot of nine to pick up his sound system. Really?
Oh, don't worry. John won't forget his sound system.
My dears, would you mind if I just nipped home for a minute?
No.
I'll be right back.
Poor Martha. Hope she hasn't left the gas on.
She can be a bit forgetful.
Well, it's much better that she goes home and checks.
Yeah.
Morning.
Oh, good morning, John.
Oh, we haven't touched the sound system, John.
Don't worry. It'll take me a second to pack it up.
All right.
I say, I'm glad you know where all those wires go.
Oh, it's easy when you know what you're doing. Told Eddie he wouldn't get anywhere with those flyers.
I wish Eddie was here to pick them up.
Just doesn't seem to be able to grasp the point that most people just aren't interested in this turkey.
Well, we're having a turkey.
What about the joint I gave Auntie Jen as a present?
Oh, I think she's put it in the freezer for New Year.
What?
But, I'm not sure.
I don't believe it.
I think roast pork would be very nice for New Year's Day.
You got yours then, Mrs. Antrobus?
Well, actually...
You haven't fallen for Eddie Grundy's line, have you?
The fact is, I've been invited out for both Christmas and New Year.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, I think it'll be very pleasant.
Where are you off to, then?
Guy Pemberton's on both occasions.
Oh, you'll be all right, then. You'll be getting pork.
Will I? Guy is very much hoping Simon will drop in.
Oh, that'll be nice for him.
Yes, if you've got a family, it must be very hard not to see them at Christmas.
Sometimes I think I see too much of my family at Christmas. Still, if I manage to sort out something with Neil and his pigs, I'll be able to spend most of the time up at Willow Farm.
Well, you're planning to expand, are you?
Well, if I can persuade Neil to help me out. At the moment, he seems to think it's more complicated than it really is. I can never get him to sit down and talk about it.
You can hardly blame him.
Well, why?
Well, Susan.
What's that got to do with it?
I think they're both very worried about the court case.
Yeah, I suppose so.
I do think you'd be better to talk to Neil after Christmas.
Yeah, no.
Now, but... John... I do think Debbie has a point.
Yeah, perhaps you're right. Right, let's take these speakers out to the van.
Think he'd realise what Neil must be going through.
John may be a budding entrepreneur, but he's still very young.
Yes, I suppose so. And you?
What?
The court case.
Oh, you mean Clive. Well, I just hope they give him the sentence he deserves.
Oh, so do I.
Oh, sorry. Does that sound mean of me?
Not at all, when I think of what he subjected you to.
Yeah, well, at least he's pleading guilty, so I'm not going to have to go to court and go over it all again.
Well, it's beginning to look as if we're getting somewhere.
Good. I'm going to have to go to work in a minute.
I'm sure Martha and I can get everything finished off. There's only the mistletoe in the hall. And a bit of quick hoovering to be done.
Right. Just wait till I see Eddie Grundy.
Oh, dear.
You will not believe this. He's just gone and fly-posted my van.
He wouldn't.
Yes, he has.
Which poster is it?
You mean there's more than one?
Yes, I'm afraid so.
Where?
When I went down to see Jean-Michel off, I noticed they were all over the village green.
Ah, there you are, John Archer.
What have I done?
I'm not saying you've done anything, but I'd like me money back.
What do you mean?
I've decided I don't want this joint of pork, so if you just take it and give me my money back.
No, Martha, I don't think you can do that.
Why not? It's only just set in my freezer.
There's nothing wrong with it.
And if there was something wrong with it, I'm sure John would be only too happy to change it.
I don't want it changed. I want my money back.
Why?
Let's just say I've been asking some questions.
What sort of questions?
Well, like how old it is. What sort of illnesses you can get from pork?
It was butchered less than 4 weeks ago. It's been in a deep freeze ever since.
But how do I know that?
Well, you've just got to take my word for
this
it.
This could be years old.
Oh, you mean like the beef?
Look, Martha, I don't think pork goes into intervention.
Oh, of course it doesn't.
Doesn't it?
How much do you pay for it?
£5.23.
There you go. £5.50. Can't say fairer than that.
Here, you take the pork, and I'll just go and get you some change.
It's all right. I don't want any change.
I'm not having more than what's due to me. I'll just go and get me bag from the kitchen.
I'm going to kill Eddie Grundy. £5.50 down the drain.
Why?
Well, I can't resell it, can I? probably started to unfreeze by now, when she's brought it all the way from her place.
Mm. Well, I think it's very good of you to refund Martha's money.
It's better than Martha going all round the village telling people it's been an intervention. Look, I'm not going to wait for her to come back. I'm just going to take the rest of the stuff and go.
Well, Martha will be very offended if you don't wait for your change.
Well, the sooner I see Eddie Grundy, the better. Bye.
Bye, John.
Bye, John, and thanks again for lending us your sound equipment.
Ooh, I never thought I'd see John give anybody a refund.
There's always a first time for everything, my dear.
Here you are, then. Oh, Martha, I'm afraid John had to go.
Oh, but he hasn't had his change.
He had something he had to do urgently. Mm.
Now I'll have to get on my bike and go all the way up to Bridge Farm.
No, I don't think you need to do that.
Oh, yes, I do. I like to have things straight with people. And anyway, I'd better be getting up to the shop soon.
Yes, of course.
Betty and I were rushed off our feet yesterday, so I'll see both of you, eh?
Yes, bye, Martha.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for your help. What little of it there was.
Bye, Martha. Oh, dear, it looks as if you're going to be left without anybody to help you.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah, but haven't you got all sorts of things you want to get ready for Christmas?
Well, that's the joy of going to Guy's. It means all I have to worry about is having something in the larder for Boxing Day.
Oh, Mrs. Antrobus, thank goodness you're here.
Nigel, what's the matter?
Sorry, did I by any chance leave my watch here last night?
Oh, it's your watch, is it?
Yes, and it's got great sentimental value. Daddy left it to me.
Oh. And I was worried it might have belonged to one of the French visitors. I'll just go and get it. I won't be a moment.
Oh, what a relief. I just can't think how I forgot it.
You don't think it might have something to do with the situation between you and Elizabeth?
I think it might be more to do with the worry about Mummy.
Oh.
What are you doing tonight, Debbie?
Well, I'm going to a dinner dance with Richard.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, I think it should be good fun.
And I bet it'll help you keep your mind off tomorrow.
Yes.
I hope they send Clive Horribin to prison for years. And that they realise that he manipulated Susan into it.
So do I.
When you think of how hard Susan's worked to get on.
Here we are, Nigel.
Mrs. A, thank you so much.
Look, I must go.
Have fun tonight.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Is she going out somewhere nice tonight?
Yes, she's going to a dinner dance with Richard.
With Richard?
I think he wants to make sure she doesn't worry about tomorrow.
Ah, which is a way of telling me there's nothing in it.
I wish I was going out tonight.
Hey, you're always welcome to drop in on me for a glass of sherry.
That's very kind of you, Mrs. Antrobus, but you don't want to hear about my troubles.
What troubles are those?
I'm so worried about Mummy.
Why, isn't she well?
Oh, she keeps saying it's going to be her last Christmas.
Nigel, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And when I ask her to tell me exactly what the doctor said, she clams up on me.
Have you tried talking to the doctor?
Oh, I couldn't.
Why not?
Well, doctors aren't allowed to tell you about their patients.
Oh, I'm sure the doctor would tell you if there was anything you could do to help her.
We don't think it would be invading her privacy.
Of course not. I think it would be the obvious action of a loving son. The sooner you pick up the phone, the better.
You don't think he could have forgotten?
Susan, Mr. Pemberton wouldn't have forgotten.
I think he's probably just having trouble trying to park. I had to queue for a good 15 minutes to get into the multi-story.
What a time to have to be going through all this.
Susan, the calmer you can stay.
It's all right, Mrs. Fellows, I know. It's just it's not like Mr. Pemberton to be late.
Susan, he'll be here. From what I've read in the statement he gave Mark, I'm sure he won't let you down.
Of course he won't.
But what if they call the case and he's not here?
He will be, Susan. Don't worry.
While we're waiting, let's just run through the procedure again.
OK.
I know it seems as if Jane and I are going over and over things.
Oh, Susan doesn't mind that, do you, love?
No. The more prepared I am, the better.
Well, as I said before, the first formalities are very simple. Once he's established you are who you say you are, the clerk of the court will read out the count against you and ask how you plead.
Guilty.
Then the prosecuting barrister will outline the case against each of you. Then your brother's barrister will mitigate for him.
What could anybody say to mitigate on Clive's behalf?
Oh, don't worry, his barrister will find something.
Then I'll mitigate for you and call Mr. Pemberton as your character witness.
If he's here by then.
The judge will already know quite a lot about you because he'll have read the pre-sentence reports.
Oh, yes, Mr. Pemberton, no.
Oh, thank goodness.
I'm so sorry.
Hello, Mr. Pemberton.
I thought I'd left plenty of time to get into Borchester and Park.
Well, we've still got a few minutes. Mr. Pemberton, this is Jane Fellows.
Ah, good afternoon.
Hello.
I must say, Susan, you do look smart.
It always makes me feel better looking smart. I wanted to get Clive a suit.
Waste of money.
The judge isn't supposed to be swayed by what you wear.
Well, I'm not going to let that stop me trying.
Good, that's the spirit.
The only person I'm frightened of is Clive. Having to stand in the dock next to him.
There will be a prison officer between you.
I must say it does seem rather unfortunate, Susan and her brother having to appear together.
It's because their cases are connected.
Clive said he'd take me down with him. And now he is. Why didn't I ring the police as soon as he first turned up on the doorstep?
Remember what we said I would tell the judge.
Yeah, I know. I didn't know what he might do to me and the kids.
And that's true, Susan.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. And now what have I done to me and the kids?
Now, come on, Susan. I thought we agreed. Fighting spirit.
We'd better be going in. So, Mr. Pemberton, if you'd like to come sit at the back of the court, you'll be sitting with Neil.
Right, fine. All the best, Susan.
Yeah, and don't worry.
Remember, Susan, don't appear friendly to Clive. And look serious. Not that you'll have to try hard.
Oh, Neil.
Oh, Susan, it's all going to be over soon.
Yeah.
And remember, whatever happens, I love you.
Well, well, if it isn't Susan Carter.
Hello, Clive.
I bet you never thought we'd end up here together.
I never wanted to end up here.
You think I wanted to?
Oh, Clive, don't you think you could have made a bit of an effort?
I tried to. I tried to get out the country.
Shh.
She's my sister. I can talk to her until the judge comes, can't I?
Clive, there's no need to be rude to the officer.
This might be the only chance we get for a chat.
It is all right for you to talk to him.
Oh.
I see you and that husband of yours are all dressed up.
Yes, well, I wanted to make a good impression. It's a shame you didn't feel the same way.
What do you mean?
Well, he could at least have had a shave.
I bet you think I should be wearing a suit as well.
I tried to get you one from Mum's club, but they sent the wrong thing. I suppose with Christmas and everything.
Do you realise where I'll be spending Christmas?
Clive, they haven't got any option.
Some of the lads think I'm a mug for pleading guilty.
Why?
I'm making it so easy for the judge.
Keep your voice down.
But Clive, don't you see? The easier you make it for the judge, the more lenient he'll be for you.
With this judge, fat chance.
I know Mark said he was a bit strict. Strict but fair.
That's not what I've heard.
Well, I don't know who you've been talking to.
We wouldn't have been here at all if you'd kept your mouth shut.
Clive, I don't want to listen to this.
All stand, please.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get your chance to listen to the judge instead. And I just hope you like what you hear.
Oh, I'd forgotten how crowded it got in here just before Christmas.
If you think this is crowded, wait till tomorrow lunchtime.
Yes, I suppose most people will be closing early.
Oh, not us. We'll be staying open for last-minute Christmas shoppers.
Well, I've got all my Christmas shopping done.
Well done.
I think that's probably because the list is not very long.
Ah, is that because Lizzie's not on it?
I don't want to buy somebody a present only to have it thrown back in my face.
What exactly has she said, Nigel?
I don't think I want to repeat what she said. But basically, she doesn't think Mummy is telling me the full story. That's why I did want to have a word with Nelson.
Nigel, if you want to ask questions about Julia's health, why don't you just ring her doctor?
That's what Mrs. Antrobus said. She said it'd be the action of a loving son.
Then why don't you?
I don't know. Perhaps I don't want to hear the bad news.
Well, I think you should. You know the way your mother is, well, prone to exaggeration.
You're right, of course. The minute I finish this drink, I'll go and ring the doctor. Oh, how was your night out with Richard?
Oh, it was great. We had a really good time.
Good, I'm pleased.
I hardly thought once about the court case all evening.
Well done, Richard.
You know, it was due to start at 2 o'clock.
Is that why you didn't want to be left alone in the antique shop?
Yeah.
Would you like me to stay with you for the rest of the afternoon?
Oh, Nigel, that's very kind of you.
Well, to be honest, Debbie, just at the moment, anything's preferable to being at Lower Locksley.
Oh, thanks.
Your Honour, you must remember that my client knew her brother to be a dangerous man.
But according to my notes, the gun had already been found.
I think you will agree with me that a man who can get hold of one gun could easily get hold of another.
Particularly in the countryside.
My client's fear of what a brother might do to her was therefore entirely justified.
And he's done it.
Actually, Neil, I think everything's going quite well. Mrs. Fellows seems very competent.
Your Honour, in front of you is a woman who was torn between her loyalty to her husband and children and her loyalty to her brother. What tipped the scales in her brother's favour in such a tragic way was the emotional blackmail and veiled threats which her brother used to persuade her to take the fatal decision to help him. She believes that, in the end, she had no choice.
You don't think she's overdoing it a bit?
Not at all. She's got to establish that Susan had a very good reason to be afraid of Clive.
Your Honour, you have read the pre-sentence report.
I have.
It would assist Your Honour to turn to page 2 of the report.
Page
2, Your Honour.
She's talking about the report the probation officer made.
Yes.
I have the relevant page, Mrs. Fellows.
If Your Honour would refer to the third paragraph...
Yes?
The sentence that refers to my client's strength of character.
Yes?
Your Honour, Susan Carter is not a bad woman. For 30 years she has led an honest and upright life. She is a woman who, under great stress, made a serious and tragic mistake, which she has regretted ever since, and for which she will be punished for the rest of her life by the loss of her good character, something which was of great importance to her. If you send her to prison, you will also punish her husband and children, who are innocent parties. You have an alternative, a community service order, which will allow her to serve her sentence in a positive way, doing something purposeful. She has learnt her lesson. Prison will teach her nothing. I hope that Your Honour will have the courage and wisdom to let her go back to her husband, her children, and her job. And so, Your Honour, to summarise, my client, Mrs. Susan Carter, felt that she had no other choice but to act as she did. She felt that she had to help her brother, and that any other course of action might well have had severe repercussions, not only on herself, but on her family.
Look, you can't accuse me of threatening Emma and Christopher.
Your Honour, I am not accusing Mr. Horribin of threatening the children.
Yes, you are. And Susan's never been frightened of me either.
Mr. Horribin, will you please be quiet?
I never do anything to hurt the kids.
Mr. Horribin, I'm glad to hear it. Now, please let the mitigation continue without interruption.
Your Honour, I now have a character witness at court whom I should like to call.
Very well, Mrs. Fellows.
Please call Mr. Guy Pemberton.
Call Mr. Guy Pemberton.
Mr. Pemberton, you referred just now to changes in my client's demeanour at work. Could you tell the court what those changes were?
Well, to put it in a nutshell, Mrs. Carter appeared to be distressed.
And how did that distress manifest itself?
There was a deterioration in the quality of her work. Not big things.
But things you noticed?
Yes. But I should like to say that as soon as the mistakes were brought to the attention of Mrs. Carter, she immediately took steps to rectify them.
Were you aware that my client's behaviour was being influenced by her brother?
It was obvious that her brother being on the run was causing an intolerable strain.
An intolerable strain?
I'm afraid it reduced her to tears on more than one occasion.
Thank you, Mr. Pemberton. Your Honour, I have no further questions for Mr. Pemberton.
I should like to ask Mr. Pemberton some questions. Mr. Pemberton, you say you have only known Mrs. Carter since the spring.
That's correct.
That's not very long, is it?
With respect, Your Honour, I think it can be ample time to come to an assessment of a person. Indeed, I was very happily married for a long time on far shorter acquaintance.
Then you were a lucky man, Mr. Pemberton.
Thank you.
Do you find Mrs. Carter a trustworthy person?
I see no reason not to trust her.
You would trust her implicitly?
Yes, I would.
Nigel, any joy?
Just wait till I see her.
Why, what did the doctor say?
Exactly what he said to Mummy.
And it's not the same as what she said to you?
No. What she said to me is that this could be her last Christmas.
And what had the doctor said to her?
He told her that if she didn't stop drinking, this could be her last Christmas. Precisely.
Well, do you think she can stop drinking?
I don't know and I don't care.
Oh, Nigel, now don't be silly. Of course you care.
I know. Oh, what am I going to do?
Well, I think the first thing you've got to do is to talk to Julia and tell her you know that the problem is her drinking.
But she'll be furious with me for ringing the doctor.
Yeah, but if you could stop her drinking, you'd be saving her life.
I thought the thing you had to do with alcoholics was to get them to take responsibility for themselves.
Yeah, and getting them to admit that their drinking is part of that. Do you think you could get her to go to something like AA?
Only if they gave parties every night.
Well, it might be worth a try.
I'll try anything if it'll help Mummy.
And I'm sure once she knows you're trying to help...
It's just, how am I going to stop her drinking at Christmas with all her friends?
Mm.
I wish I could talk to Lizzie about it.
Why don't you?
Because there's no point.
But if you explain the situation...
The thing is, I don't think she'd give me a chance to explain the situation.
Oh, she would.
Besides, it wouldn't make any difference about Christmas. I still wouldn't be going to Glebe Cottage. Mm. No, I'm just going to have to spend all Christmas at Lower Loxley, shadowing Mummy and being nice to her ghastly friends.
Well, I'm sure Nelson will help you keep an eye on her.
Well, Nelson's probably going to be the only person I can talk to for 3 days.
And, Mr. Horobin, on the second count of escaping from prison custody, contrary to common law, I sentence you to 12 months' imprisonment to run concurrently with the 6 years I have already imposed.
Does that mean he's only got 6 years altogether?
Yes, it does.
Mr. Horobin, you may go down.
Well, Susan, I hope you're satisfied.
Now, Mrs. Fellows, I sit in these courts every day and have to listen to counsel, not all of whom are as eloquent as you, telling me that people commit crimes because they do not have any choice. But let me tell you, Mrs. Fellows, that they do have a choice. A choice between obeying the law or breaking the law. It's as simple as that. I recognize that Mrs. Carter is of good character. I have listened to the many good things that Mr. Pemberton has said about her. But I cannot ignore what she did. The due administration of our system of justice is the core of a civilized and democratic people. It is becoming increasingly common for people who do not want to see others justly punished to try and undermine this. I sadly hear from other courts about attempts at jury interference and witness intimidation. Any attempt to undermine the judicial system is a serious criminal act. And I would be failing in my duty to the public and to the victims if I did not impose a custodial sentence today. Therefore, Susan Carter, I have no alternative but to send you to prison for 6 months.
What?
Take her down.
You're sending me to prison?
Mrs. Carter, you may go down.
They're not taking her straight to prison, ma'am.
I don't believe it.
Susan!
Neil!
Susan, don't worry. It'll be all right. We'll get you out. It'll be all right. I promise.
Are you sure you don't want a coffee?
Oh, no thanks. The sooner I get into Borchester, the better. I just thought I'd better come and see if there was anything last minute you wanted for tomorrow.
Well, there is, as a matter of fact.
A what?
A box of crackers.
I don't think that should be too difficult.
Oh, thanks. How are things at Lower Loxley?
Oh, OK. No, actually, they're not. I've hardly spoken to Nigel this week. I think we're both avoiding each other.
Elizabeth.
Yes, I know. I haven't even got him a present.
Good heavens. Elizabeth, what are you doing here this time in the morning?
Oh, she came to see if there was anything we needed for tomorrow.
I thought Shula might be rather busy.
Well, there's not really much to do in the estate office today. It's after the holidays I'm worried about.
Yes, I know.
Oh, it was horrible this morning. Waking up and thinking of Susan in prison.
Isn't Mark going to appeal or something?
The thing is, Elizabeth, there isn't really any point in Susan appealing.
What?
The sentence was severe, but it wasn't over the top. In order to win an appeal, it's got to be more than tough. It's got to be wrong in principle. Jane told Susan in the cells that there really isn't a chance.
But isn't it worth a try?
We have to get leave from the single judge first. Because of Christmas and New Year, it'd be well into January before he even looked at the papers, and I don't think he'd give bail pending an appeal. Even if he granted leave to appeal, we'd be into March before we got in front of the court. Susan would be finishing her sentence by then.
I think that's terrible.
Yes, so do I. Community service would have been an appropriate sentence, in my opinion. And the thing is, I feel so helpless. There's nothing else I can do.
Gin. Cognac. A 3-star brandy for the Christmas pudding.
Mummy, I wonder if I could have a word.
No, not now, Nigel. I'm making my shopping list.
Mummy, it's a very important word.
Oh, well, if it's about the amount I'm spending, I can assure you it's about half the amount I used to spend when your father was alive.
Mummy, look, yesterday I spoke to your doctor.
What for?
Because I was worried about you. And what he told me was that you could see another 20 Christmases, but, Mummy, you must stop drinking.
Oh, Nigel, I'm so glad it's all out in the open.
Then why did you lie to me last weekend?
I didn't lie to you.
You told me the doctor told you it would be your last Christmas.
How does a mother tell her son that she is an alcoholic?
So you admit you've got a problem?
Darling, why do you think I want you to spend Christmas with me? Because if you're here, I won't drink.
Is that a promise?
We won't even have brandy on the Christmas pudding, but, well, of course, I shall have to provide a few drinks for my guests.
Look, Mummy, will you give me your solemn word that you won't touch any of those drinks?
Well, of course, darling, if you'll only help me. Oh, I know I'll have to be strong as well, but, Nigel, I really do need your help.
Did you mean to pick up two packets of bread sauce mix?
Yeah, one's for May and one's for Susan. I mean, for Neil and the children.
I just can't believe they've sent her to prison.
Oh, no.
I mean, I thought everybody said she'd get community service.
That's what she told me.
I was all relieved about Clive going to prison, but when I heard about Susan...
I went cold all over when I heard.
I mean, I know it'll only take Mark Ebden a couple of days to appeal, but...
I was surprised he didn't appeal straight away.
Well, not sure how it works, but I expect it all takes a bit of time. Oh, Clary, when I think of the way I've treated Neil and Susan...
Oh, I think they realised you were upset about what she'd done for Clive.
Well, I was, and I do think she should be punished for it, but not in this way. I
suppose the judge reckoned he was setting an example.
Clary?
Yeah?
Do you think Neil would take a message to Susan saying I'm sorry?
Oh, I haven't missed the post, have I?
Oh, you have if you want him to be there for Christmas.
Oh, I know that. It's just I wanted to get them off before the estate office closes for Christmas.
Oh, Shula, isn't it terrible news?
You mean about Susan?
Yeah.
I just don't see the point of sending someone like her to prison.
No.
I mean, especially when they're always going on about prisons being overcrowded.
No, I hadn't thought of that. And what's Emma and Christopher going to do without her?
Well, I'll help out with them whenever I can.
I think everyone will.
Maureen Travis is looking after them today when I'm at the ball.
Yeah, but there's Christmas and the New Year and Neil's job and the school holidays. Oh, I think I'd better go and see Neil.
Well, he's visiting Susan. He won't be back until this evening.
Go on, Susan, say something.
I don't know what to say.
Well, tell me what you did last night.
Mostly I just sat on my bed and thought about you and the kids.
Is the bed all right?
Oh, Neil, it's not a hotel.
I know that, but...
Let's just say it's not very nice.
But they'll be moving you soon, won't they?
Yeah.
Perhaps the next place will be better.
Perhaps.
Are people friendly to you?
Most of them are all right. Some of them think I was really unlucky.
Ah, Mrs. Fellows and Mark said that. And Mr. Pemberton. He was really angry.
Was he?
He said, what was the point of giving a character reference if the judge didn't take any notice of it?
Look, Neil, I don't want you to let this spoil Christmas for Emma and Christopher.
It's bound to spoil it, you not being there.
I know that, but it's important that you make Christmas as much like Christmas has always been. Neil, do you understand?
I know it's important for the kids.
It's important for you too.
I can't enjoy Christmas with you in here.
But you've got to try.
Everybody's been really nice.
I'm sure Betty thinks I've got my just desserts.
Shame Clive didn't get his. 6 years.
Neil, I don't want to talk about Clive. Look, you mustn't let the kids eat all the sweets out of their stockings or they won't have room for their dinner.
No, right.
And try not to let them get too excited before they go to bed tonight. Otherwise you'll be up half the night waiting to be Father Christmas.
I remember that from last year.
Yeah. And then on Boxing Day.
Oh, look, I thought we'd just stay quietly at home.
But you're going up to Mosey, it's all arranged.
No, I think it'd be much better if we stayed at home.
But then Emma would be really upset. You know her and Becky have been planning to do a little dance.
She said they were going to rehearse it this dinner time.
I thought you said Clary had the kids.
No, Clary's got to be in the bull at dinner time.
Mo's having the kids, is she?
Yeah, well, just till Clary finishes.
Isn't that good of her?
Yeah.
So you will go up there on Boxing Day?
If that's what you want.
All this talk about sending more people to prison. Honestly, Shula, it makes me so angry. What's the point of it? What good's it going to do Susan?
Mr. Pemberton said he really was expecting her to get community service.
Well, of course she should have got community service. I mean, it's not as if she's ever going to do it again, is she?
Here, take your drink.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, love, it's not your fault she was sent to prison.
Yeah, that's what Usha said.
Was she surprised as well?
She couldn't believe it.
I've got to say it for Sid. His Christmas decorations are awful lot more tasteful than Shane's.
Ah, hello, Nigel.
I didn't expect to see you here, Nigel.
Well, you know, Christmas Eve lunchtime in the Bull's a bit of a tradition. I thought Lizzie might be here.
Oh, no, she's gone into Borchester for some last-minute shopping.
You mean she's still avoiding me?
I don't think it's like that.
Yes, it is. She's been avoiding me all week.
You know our invite to Glebe Cottage is always open. But I think I should warn you we're in the pork encampment.
Well, that's very good of you, Mark. But, now I need to be at home more than ever.
Oh, my.
I think Mummy needs me there to keep her on the straight and narrow.
Has anybody ever kept Julia on the straight and narrow?
I don't know, but I'm going to have a damn good try.
Is there room for me to squeeze in?
Oh, Lizzie.
Shula, I've got you the most fantastic box of crackers. Underwoods had just started marking them down.
Oh, great. You can get some wonderful bargains if you wait till the last moment.
I'm always terrified of waiting till the last moment.
Well, that's amazing, given the way you prevaricate.
I don't prevaricate.
Oh, come on, Nigel. You think you'd know yourself by now?
All right.
Neil!
Betty, what are you doing here?
Oh, I saw your torch. I've been waiting to catch you. Oh, Neil, I wanted to say how sorry I am about Susan.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it never entered my head they would send her to prison.
Could you hold the lamp a sec?
Oh, right.
Thanks. Well, we always knew that was a possibility.
Yeah, for so long.
Well, Mark says she should be out in 3 months with good behaviour.
I'm so sorry. Would you give Susan a message?
Betty, I won't see Susan for another 2 weeks.
What?
That's when the next visiting is.
I don't believe it.
It's true. She's allowed to make £4 worth of phone calls a week.
Oh, well, perhaps you could give her a message over the phone.
Well...
Oh, look, if you could just say I'm sorry. Will you, Neil, please?
Betty,
It won't take you more than a couple of seconds.
Yeah, all right, then.
Oh, Neil... Thank you. I can't tell you what a weight it is off me mind.
I thought you'd got lost.
Oh, Nigel, everything seemed to take for ages.
You've certainly been busy.
I know. Oh, do you think you could carry some of these boxes into the house for me?
Of course. I can't wait to see what you bought.
Oh, that one's to go in my room, and I don't want you to peep.
Why, is it my present?
Well, it could be.
Well, it's jolly heavy. Oh, what's this? There's something dripping.
Oh, it's probably just damp from the ground.
It smells to me like gin.
Why would I be buying gin?
Just a minute.
Nigel, I thought I told you not to look.
How could you?
Oh, how silly of me. I can't tell which box is which in this light.
Mummy, you've been drinking this.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
If you haven't been drinking this... Why's the bottle half empty?
Obviously it's leaking. The top must have come off.
Right. That's it.
But, Nigel, you promised to help me.
I can't help you if you won't help yourself.
Where are you going?
To pack. I won't be spending Christmas at Lower Loxley.
But how am I going to get these boxes into the house?
I'm sorry, Mummy, but that's not my problem. Oh, please, somebody be in.
Oh, Nigel, what do you want?
Something very Christmassy and traditional.
What?
I wondered if I could have a bed for the night.
Here?
Yes.
But what about...
I've told Mummy to get stuffed.
You didn't actually say that.
As good as.
But why?
It's a long story. And I'd tell it much better if I could come in.
Well, Nigel, of course you can come in.
Oh, thank you, Lizzie.
Mum! Dad! Nigel's come for Christmas.
The Archer's Omnibus from Christmas Day 1993 was written by Louise Page and directed by Kerry Davis. And if you thought that was dramatic, You won't want to miss tonight's extended episode of The Archers over on Radio 4, celebrating 60 years of the programme with a thrilling episode that will shake Ambridge to the core. But coming up in just a moment here on BBC Radio,